You know, one of the common values in life, and maybe it's something that we were taught early on, whether at home or at school, it's this value of growing. It's this value of improving, of always wanting to get better at what we do, and always looking for ways to get better, looking for ways to grow and to improve. So if you're in business, I'm sure that one of the things that you do and you set out to do is that you set out to grow your business. And you set out to improve in your business. For students, I'm sure that all of these students, you do try to improve your grades, right? You look for ways to get better, and you look for ways to improve and to grow in that way. For some of you, you might like to grow in your physique, in your biceps, or your strength. For Pastor Ed, he likes to grow that chiseled abs, those chiseled abs of his, right? I'm going to show a picture of it right here. I'm just kidding. No picture. For some of you, you like to grow in your knowledge, to improve in that way, to grow in that way. So whether it's in business, whether it's your biceps, whether it's your brain, I think it's safe to say that most of us, that we want to grow and that we want to improve. You know, one of the things that purposes for the sabbatical that I was on was to grow personally and spiritually, to set out to focus on personal and spiritual growth. So one day during my sabbatical, I checked out some old journal entries dating back to the last sabbatical that I had. And some things were definitely different. I'll show a picture. Some things were definitely different. Like my kids, this is a picture of the last sabbatical that we had, and we went with some friends to Pismo Beach. So the kids were smaller, right? They ate less. They're the two girls are Kyra and Malia, just to let you know that they just won the CIF Southern Section Basketball Championships. Okay. A little shout out for them. But coming back to this, some things were definitely different. Kids were smaller, they ate less. I had less gray hair. I had less LBs. I had a few less pounds. You know, but some things were the same. Okay, as I was reading those journal entries, some things were definitely the same. And part of it was they were the same struggles that I had back then that I still struggle with today. Some of those same sins that would plague me those 6 or 7 years ago, that they still plague me today. And so in some ways, it was encouraging to see how things were different. But it wasn't so encouraging to see how things were the same. And it made me pause and think, you know, why am I not growing in certain areas? You know, why am I not improving in certain areas spiritually? Why isn't there this marked change in my life? And I'm just wondering, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you're in this certain place in life where you haven't really seen any marked improvements, any growth? Maybe you feel a little stagnant spiritually. You haven't seen like some spiritual maturity, and maybe you still get angry at those dumb things. You know, maybe you're still a little impatient. Maybe that same person 5, 6, or 7 years ago that you were unkind to, you're still unkind to that same person today. You still struggle with generosity. Maybe you struggle about life, stressed about life, and so on and so on. And we'll see this morning that maybe there's a reason for this. That there are some things that we can do, or maybe that we have neglected in doing, that will bring us this greater growth, some greater spiritual maturity in our lives. The first passage that we're going to look at is from Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. And Jesus calls the people in these early stages of Mark's gospel, he calls the people to repent and believe. And this is the first recorded statement of Jesus in Mark's gospel. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe in the gospel. And this is an important statement in a lot of ways. This sums up Jesus' message. For those who wish to follow after Jesus, Jesus says, and he calls us to repent and to believe. And so one of the keys to growth in the Lord, something that's vital to grow in spiritual maturity, is to continue this habit, to sow this habit of repenting and believing throughout your lives as a believer. So if you want to grow, if you want to grow and improve and become greater as far as your spiritual maturity, then this ongoing practice, this ongoing habit of repenting and believing needs to happen in your life. This is a little bit of review. I want to take a look at biblical repentance. And it involves three basic things. And we've heard this a few times in sermons and in the study that you've been going through in your journey group. But first, we need to understand in biblical repentance, first is that sin is wrong. Understand that sin is wrong. The second thing, we need to have this genuine sorrow and a genuine hatred for sin. That's the second thing in biblical repentance. And the third, we need to make this decision to turn from it, to turn from that sin and to turn to Christ. So repentance, it happens at the time of our salvation. It happens when a sinner realizes that he's sinful, a sinner realizes that he's helpless, and he confesses his or her sin and then turns to Christ to save him. And when the person does this, when this happens, and that person is saved, but this repentance, it also continues. And it's not this repentance that we gain salvation over and over again, but this repentance continues for our sanctification. That's this process of becoming more and more like Christ. This process of developing a greater heart for him, a greater heart that loves him. You know, there's theologians and scholars who write about these things very clearly, and I'm going to read this quote by Wayne Grudem. Wayne Grudem, he says this, "It is important to realize that faith and repentance are not confined to the beginning of the Christian life. They are rather attitudes of heart that continues throughout the lives of Christians. Although it is true that initial saving faith and initial repentance occur only once in our lives, and when they occur, they constitute true conversion. Nonetheless, the heart attitudes of repentance and faith only begin at conversion. These same attitudes should continue throughout the course of our Christian lives." These are heart attitudes that should continue throughout the course of our lives. So if you haven't seen any change, maybe you haven't felt any kind of spiritual growth, improvement. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, I think that's all of us here. Still struggling with those same issues that you were struggling with 5, 6, or 7 years ago. Maybe you're still prideful. Still with this heart that is so centered on yourself. Maybe still fearing what other people think of you. You know, maybe you still can't make decisions. Maybe you're undisciplined in your spiritual life. It could go on and on. And even this message is for you. And you need to have this heart attitude of daily repentance and daily belief. So it's important to know, and it's important to our growth as believers, and we're going to see just what it looks like as far as what this repenting and believing, what it looks like on a continual basis. You know, a huge part of continual repentance is identifying and removing what we call idols in our lives. And Greg, he prayed about this. He mentioned these idols that might have crept into your lives, crept into your hearts. You know, the New Testament, it repeatedly warns believers against falling into idolatry. You know, it's one of the most discussed issues and problems in the Bible. A few verses, 1 Corinthians 10:14, it says, well, Paul urges the Corinthians to flee from idolatry. 1 John 5:21, John calls his readers to keep themselves from idols. He says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. When we think of an idol, I think sometimes our minds will go to the time of Moses in that golden calf. Or we think of Indiana Jones in that one scene, throw me the idol. You know, no time for argue. Throw me the idol. Something like that. You know, I was looking online at idols, and there's these huge temples of this idol. This is in Hong Kong, and it's called the... Oh, somebody knew it. And the translation of that is called the Big Buddha, okay? And that's in Hong Kong. And there's this picture of people going to this place. Look how huge that thing is. Of people going to this place and worshiping and bowing down at these various idols. It's easy to think of these foreign idols. It's easy to think of the golden calf or this big Buddha. But what about here in the United States? I don't think it's as common to see something this big or to see physical idols everywhere. You know, we might not have that statue of a golden calf, but believe it or not, idols are everywhere. Just not the traditional idols that we might be thinking of. I'm going to read this quote by Ken Sandy. He wrote The Peacemaker. He writes this: an idol is not simply a statue of wood, stone, or metal. It is anything we love and pursue in place of God. In biblical terms, an idol is something other than God that we set our hearts on. So it doesn't have to be something physical that motivates us, that masters or rules us, or that we serve. What are you setting your hearts on? What are the things that motivate you? Or the things that master you? Maybe there's things that you love and that you pursue in place of God. You know, people, they set their hearts on and they worship idols such as that one in the picture, but we have other idols, and that's in our hearts that we need to repent of. You know, the first car that my parents bought me was a sleek, sporty 2-seater, and I absolutely loved this car. It was a fun car. I had a lot of pride in enjoying this car. I used to spend time and money and energy in this car. Washed it at least once a week. Shined up every single part of that car that was visible. Changed the oil every 3,000 miles. And in many ways, that car defined me. I was known for this certain car. It defined me. And looking back, yeah, that was an idol that I had built up in my life. Maybe for some of you, there's an idol of material things. Maybe it is a car. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your toys. Maybe for some of you, it's money or success, that you try to find happiness and fulfillment in your finances, in success. It's what drives you. It's what you set your heart on. Maybe it's an idol of security or comfort. Maybe that you pursue comfort, whether it's in finances or in relationships, and it's what motivates you. It's what drives you, and it's what you set your heart on. And please know that these things in and of themselves, they're not bad. But they become sinful and idolatrous when they are loved and pursued more than God or in place of God. You know, maybe for others, it's an idol of applause, that you love to hear the approval from others of you. You love to be accepted. You know, maybe you just like to be liked. Maybe you like to be liked and accepted by your friends, and it's really what drives you. This approval from others. You know, do you ever stop and wonder, just stop and wonder why you do the things that you do? Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you serve, even at church? Why are you kind to people? What is it that motivates you? Is it to win people over? Is it so that people will like you? Is it that there's some kind of approval that you're craving from others? What is it that motivates your actions? So as Greg was leading us in that prayer, we need to examine our hearts. Examine our hearts, examine our motives. And we could be feeding some kind of heart idol in some of these things. Who or what is taking first place in your heart? Who or what are you worshiping? And in that, where do you need to daily repent? Where do you need to daily repent? So how can we better identify these certain idols in our lives? We're called to this continual process, right, of repentance from sin and from idols. So how can we identify these things in our lives? And here are a few ways that we can identify these things. One is through Scripture, through the Word. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So Scripture is our guide. It reveals our hearts and it helps us to identify anything that might be going in there. Some of the sins, some of the idols. Another way that we can identify these idols is through the Holy Spirit. In that verse again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Holy Spirit knows our hearts. He knows each struggle that we have, and we pray that He would reveal those things to us, to reveal our heart idols, what our hearts are worshiping. So ask Him to reveal that to you. Another way that helps to identify idols is through the church, is through the community. Let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's in community that we receive encouragement. It's in community that we receive accountability. It's in a setting, in a small group, a journey group, where you're able to receive that encouragement and the accountability that you need to identify some of these things, to help you to grow spiritually. Another way that we can identify idols is by reflecting on things that we either fear, trust, or desire. Think of the things that you might fear. Think of those things that you might trust or desire. And just getting a little practical here, just a little, I'm going to list a few things. The first question is fear. What are things that you fear? What are things that you fear? Do you fear rejection? Do you fear not being accepted by others? Do you fear losing or not gaining a reputation? And just maybe show you what these two look like. For those of you who have kids, do your kids ever misbehave? Ever? Mine don't. Just kidding. No. Do your kids ever misbehave? Do they ever misbehave maybe in public? Or maybe this, do you ever get upset at maybe a sporting event or some kind of competition that your kids are in because of the way that they're performing? I do. And so I have to think about, why does this make me upset? Why does it make you upset? Why is there misbehavior? Why is there performance something that kind of gets you stirred up? Gets you a little frustrated or upset? Is it because their behavior isn't honoring to God? Or maybe that the way that they're treating others isn't bringing glory to God? I don't think so. Not initially. Most of the time, the driving force behind the reasons why I am upset is because how they're making me look. My acceptance from others. My reputation. So if you look at this list, I have the fear of losing reputation or being looked or not being looked upon well by others if they see kids misbehaving. So I need to repent of this daily, of this fear of not being accepted by others, of this fear of not gaining a reputation of being a good dad. Do you fear finances, lack of finances? Do you fear failure? Do you fear your phone being taken away for a day? Or do you fear losing your phone? It could be an indication of what's going on in your heart. If you fear any of these things to a point where it's consuming or it brings great anxiety, then maybe it's revealing something that's going on in your heart that you need to repent of. The next question are things that you trust. Do you trust these things so much that it's all consuming? Do you trust your job? Do you trust status? Do you trust money? Do you trust substances, drinking? Do you trust food, whatever it might be? Do you trust these things more than you trust God? What happens if these things are denied? And maybe it reveals something that's going on in your heart. The next question, what are some things that you desire, that you set your heart on? Do you set your heart on success, recognition? Do you set your heart on relationship, affirmation, pleasure, comfort, material things? Do you desire any of these things more than you desire God? And if so, then it's revealing something about your heart, and it's revealing something that you need to repent of. This is where we need to continually, daily, build this habit of repenting of our sin idols. And you know, it would be, I think, pretty clear and straightforward if I just stopped now with this sermon and say, here are the things that you need to repent of. Here's what you need to do. Now go and do it. It would be 1, 2, 3 steps. Go and do it. It'd be pretty clear, I think, but that's not how real spiritual growth happens. It's not how it happens. We also need to believe and to continue to believe in the promises of God. The promises in the gospel. Repenting involves turning from sin, but believing involves turning to gospel truth. So in the book that we were reading, some of you read for Journey Group this week, God's Good Gospel, it says Christianity isn't just about these do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do that. It's not that we can just identify these sins, these idols, and on our own power and just our sheer willpower, just turn from those things. We need to believe. We need to believe what the gospel teaches us. And that we grow in love for the Lord by reflecting on, by considering and meditating on gospel truth, on what God has already done for us in Christ. So what are some of these things that we need to reflect on and to consider, to continually believe? And I think this list could go on and on and on, things that we can reflect on and things that we can consider, some of these beautiful truths of the gospel about our gracious God and about the beauty of the gospel. I'm just going to give you a few, but these are some of the things that we need to continue to believe daily. Believe and keep on believing that you are dead to sin. That if you have come to trust in Jesus for your salvation, you're dead to sin, that you're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of God, that sin no longer has its mastery over you, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit and by God's grace, you're able to overcome these idols and these sins in your life. Sin no longer has its mastery over you. Another thing to believe and to keep on believing is that you're a new creation. I am a new creation. You're holy and dearly loved. The gospel tells you that you're not defined by what people think of you. You're not defined about these outside by these outside forces. You're not defined even by what you think of yourself. But you're defined by Christ. Regardless of anything that you have achieved, regardless of any failures that you might have had or done, you're defined by Christ. Your reputation and your status, that you're a child of God, and that we need to remember that we are forever adopted as His sons and daughters. The affirmation that we seek, the affirmation that we get from God is that we are holy and dearly loved, called to be His very own. The fears that you might have, we could bring those to the foot of the Father and cast those fears on Him. The desires that we might have, we need to believe and keep on believing that He has given you grace, a relationship with Him, that we are His sons and daughters. Believe these things daily. And you know, can go on and on and on about these truths that we need to daily consider, that we need to daily meditate on. For every heart idol that you might have, there's something so much greater and deeper as far as the satisfaction that you receive and the fulfillment that you gain in Christ. So Paul in Romans, he tells us to live in light of who we already are in Christ. To remind yourself of that. To live in light of what God has already done for us. And believe these things, keep on believing these things, and respond to Him. Respond to the Lord, respond to these truths with gratitude and joy. Respond in this free grace that God has given to you with a life of joy. You know, have you ever gotten something for free? I've gotten free things. I love getting free things. I love going to Costco because there's free things. You know, those, when they have those chicken taquitos for samples, I try to figure out as many ways I can so that this lady doesn't recognize me. You know? Free things are good. I remember going to this charity event, and there were a bunch of vendors giving away free things. And I was standing in this long line, not even knowing what I was going to get for free. Just this thought of getting something for free. You know, we could get all this kind of free stuff all the time. These little shirts or mugs, food. And it is free. I mean, that is the definition of grace. It is grace. It is free. But it's something that's not going to really change your life. It's not going to change your life. Maybe 10 seconds of your life, you'll be happy. But what if you needed something where your life was in jeopardy? Okay, what if you needed surgery? And you were just helpless there because you didn't have the finances to get that surgery done. You didn't have the means to have that surgery done. You couldn't afford it. And so you were left helpless there in that situation. And now imagine a friend or somebody, not even a friend, somebody that, some person heard about your need and sold everything that they had to provide the funds that you needed for that surgery. It's costly grace. It's free for you, but it's very costly for that friend. Unlike these free gifts that you might receive from Costco, this gift would change your life forever. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And so how would we treat a friend who did that? I think we'd be pretty joyful to that friend. I don't think we would treat that friend poorly. I think that kind of sacrificial gift and that sacrificial love would produce joy in the recipient's life. You see how reminding yourself of that daily is going to change you. You're a child of God who has been blessed by this mercy and grace, this costly grace from the love of the Father. That's got to change you. Respond to that in joy. Respond to that in worship. True growth, true spiritual growth, it's not about living a better life. It's not about doing better. But it's about believing better. So yeah, let's repent. Let's identify these sins. Let's identify these idols. And let's repent of those things, those idols of our hearts. Let's do this daily. But let's also believe daily in what is true of our God and what is true of us. And that's going to bring about spiritual growth. And that's going to bring about a response of joy and worship. That's not manufactured. That's not just sheer willpower, but that's going to be from the heart. So keep on repenting. Keep on believing daily. For some, maybe you've yet to repent and believe for that first time for salvation. You know, the message is this, is that we're all sinners. We're all deserving of eternal punishment, but when we repent of our sin and believe in Christ, our sin is placed on Christ and He gives us His righteousness so that through repentance and faith, I might stand before God clean and forgiven in His righteousness, accepted by the Father, and brought into this joy of knowing Him. And it's a relationship that surpasses any other idol, any other pursuit that you might have. We have acceptance in Him. In Him we have security, we have approval, we have satisfaction, we have meaning. And if you would like to do that, if you'd like to know more about just repenting and believing for salvation, then please talk to me, talk to somebody who brought you here. It'd be a joy just to be able to explain that. So keep on repenting, keep on believing. Respond to Him with great joy. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your mercy and grace, and we thank You for the gift, the costly gift of the gospel. And Lord, help us to not only identify problems, identify sins, but help us to look to You daily. Lord, to look to the promises that You have, to look to and to meditate on the beauty of the gospel, to look to and treasure just the relationship that we have as Your sons, as Your son and Your daughter, that we are Your children. So Lord, we respond to You in joy, and we respond to You in just a heart of worship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.